Today, I'm so delighted because my husband is joining me to share about our overcoming infertility journey from his perspective. So find a cozy spot, grab your favorite healthy snack, and welcome to the tribe. Have you been experiencing roadblocks on your fertility journey and feel like nothing seems to be working? Download my free roadmap to help guide you in where to start uncovering the root cause of your fertility challenges. Hello, overcomers. Welcome to the Nurturary for Fertility podcast. I'm Jasmine, wife, dog mama, unapologetic foodie, and holistic fertility health coach. Have you been trying to conceive for years with no success and are now feeling frustrated, hopeless, lost? Believe me, I get it. My husband and I are over a decade into our trying to conceive journey, and it was one filled with heartbreak and feeling lost until we decided to seek God's unique path to our fertility and intentionally steward our health in preparation for our victory babies. Each week on the podcast, you will learn how to nurture your body for conception, maintain hope as you continue your unique fertility journey, and biblical truths that will strengthen your faith as you trust God for your victory baby. Join me as we journey to overcome infertility together. Hey, overcomers. I am so excited for today's episode because my handsome husband is joining me to share about what our overcoming infertility journey was like through his eyes. So welcome to the show, honey.
Thank you, love. I'm happy to be here.
I am so excited that you're being so courageous and sharing your story with the tribe. So in episode one, I shared about our journey to overcome male factor infertility from my perspective. If you have not already, I highly encourage you to go back and listen to it. As I've shared in episode one, we started trying to conceive right after getting married, and we quickly realized that our journey seemed more difficult than it should have been, right?
Yeah, it was. We did not expect for it to go this route, and it's been one heck of a journey.
It certainly has. Like, we knew we wanted to have kiddos right away. And we never anticipated that we would have this much trouble. We knew that I struggled with inconsistent menstrual cycles. And so that's why I underwent testing where they confirmed that a diagnosis of PCOS. And so I got on metformin and I was ovulating. We were doing basal body temps religiously and everything looked good, but we weren't conceiving. And so what was that like for you month after month?
After each month, it started getting more difficult. Questions continue to mount after the failed test results. And you start looking at every avenue. Are we doing this right? Is there something wrong with me? We know Jazz had a challenge to overcome. So I think we were more focused on that. And we didn't realize I would have an issue.
Yeah, I think like we were trying to get my health together and we were making sure that I was ovulating. And I eventually went to the doctor again and she did a second slew of tests and we're like, everything looks good. So you should be conceiving. I don't understand why you're not. And I remember you joked one time that if we were two teenagers in the back of a truck, we would have been pregnant by now.
True.
And that was really funny because it just seems to always happen that way, but not for us. And so month after month, we continued to believe. We fasted. I read all the fertility things on what you should be eating and nothing seemed to be working. And I think at one point, we not really thinking it was going to be something serious. We were just like, well, maybe you should get tested.
Just to clear it, just so we can move on, just to say like, okay, we checked him out. He's fine.
Yeah, I think it was like, we're just checking the boxes, not ever dreaming that something would have been off.
Right.
And so do you want to explain, honey, what it was like when we met with Dr. B in March of 2019 when we got your test results?
Yeah. So the doctor had our lab results and we were waiting in the room to hear from him. And we're just having a casual conversation. Things are good. And we're just like, OK, he's going to come in. He's just going to say, I'm fine. But he comes in. And he gives us the diagnosis of azoospermia. And when he define it a little bit for us, it was either I produce no sperm or very little sperm. And we were waiting to say, just kidding. But he did it.
Yeah. And I think that was hard because it was the way he said it and his mannerisms. It literally made you feel like he was going to be like, I'm just yanking your chain. Like, you guys are fine.
Yeah.
But he didn't. And I remember glancing over to you and your face just looked puzzled and blank. And he was just like, you don't have any sperm. We didn't find anything. And tears started involuntarily falling from my eyes. And I remember Dr. B saying, oh, well, don't cry. It's not that bad. And I think we both were like,
it is.
Yeah.
We even mentioned a donor saying that we can go that route.
Yeah. And like, we're still trying to process what you just said. We're not even thinking about sperm donors or anything. At that point, we're just trying to process, like, what the heck azoospermia actually was. And what do you mean you have no sperm? Like, we didn't understand. And I don't know. For me, it was gutting for me.
Right. And I just struggled to process it. It was something that neither one of us expected. Mm-hmm. And just never in a million years did I think I would have this challenge.
Yeah. And I think we were so caught off guard because
ready.
Yeah, we weren't ready at all. And you don't hear a lot about male factor infertility, at least at the time we didn't. And so we had no idea what this diagnosis was. We had never known anybody who had this diagnosis. And I think that was even more challenging. But yet it was so, I don't know, I think we still had hope.
Yeah.
A little bit. I think hope kept us sane.
Because you're thinking, okay, once we agree with this part, we're going to pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
God's going to heal us. We're going to be able to give this negative test result, bring it as proof. As, you know, God says one thing and man says another, but we know that God overrules man.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't think it would be this hard going forward.
No, we didn't think so either. And it was hard, I think, and having to still, every time we had hope, we prayed, we fasted, and then every month it was still negative. And I think that was really hard. What was that like for you?
It just felt like we were consistently taking losses.
Mm-hmm.
Negative tests after negative tests was just another blow. Then you start to get worried, is this going to happen? You start thinking, why is this happening? What did we do? Did we do something so wrong to where we can't get pregnant? Meanwhile, you have people who don't even want kids that get pregnant. People who just abandon their babies getting pregnant and we can't. It didn't feel fair.
Yeah, and I know we struggled with that and then struggled with, you know, that we aren't God and we don't know everybody's situation. And so we can't assume that those things were easy for them, like people who did give up their children.
Right.
And so that, because I think that was the natural reaction.
Of course.
Think that, but we were like, we're not God. We don't know. And people do that for many reasons. But again, it was all a part of the grieving process for us. And I think too, with every month, even after fasting and praying and it wasn't happening, we had to start grieving the fact that we may not conceived naturally, that may not be God's will for us.
And that was hard.
That was really hard. And grieving the fact that, okay, I won't get to do those little cute surprise, guess what, we're pregnant ideas that I'd always dreamed of doing with my husband. And that was another loss for us. And I think that whole few years was grieving for us.
Yeah, it was. Again, we prayed, we fasted, we were intentional, we looked up scriptures, I had saved scriptures, we were reciting them as we prayed, and it felt like it wasn't working.
Yeah. And how did that diagnosis and the journey through that impact you as a man?
My pride and ego took a hit. As men, we feel like we're put on this earth to procreate. And when that's taken from you, it's hard. You always think about what your son is going to look like. You want a miniature version of yourself here and you want to raise them. And when it's taken from you, or you don't have the ability to control it, it's hard.
I think that impacted our journey because you felt like less of a man.
I did. Like I said, ego, pride both took a hit, and not being able to do this, it challenged my manhood. I'm not saying it should have, but I felt less of a man because I couldn't get my wife pregnant. Mm-hmm. And even thoughts of a donor sperm was at that time was a no-go because I didn't want another man's seed impregnating my wife. I felt that it should be me. And I think it even got to the point where we would just adopt.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's like, yes, they're going to have my last name, but I wanted my print on the child also.
Yeah. And I think that was something we had to work through because we had already always wanted to adopt, but we never imagined that that would have been our only option and that we may never have children that look like us walking this earth. And that was hard. And that also had to be something that I had to pray about and surrender to the Lord because we both know that I wanted to experience pregnancy.
Yeah.
But I think for me too, I didn't feel comfortable using donor sperm. And it was like, am I going to let my desire to experience pregnancy outweigh what I felt comfortable with and what the Lord was speaking to us for our journey? And so having to surrender that, the idea of maybe never getting to experience pregnancy was another thing to grieve and something I had to work through. But the Lord is so good.
He is.
Because he brings so much healing out of the surrender, I feel. And I don't feel the same way I felt back then.
Yeah, I feel like I've matured. A lot of healing has happened. A lot of the way I thought back then, I don't feel that way now.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's beautiful. And I think we've gotten closer because, like you said, it did impact how you felt as a husband. And I think that was really hard for us as a couple at times because there were certain things you wouldn't do or certain ways you would shut down because I remember you saying you felt guilty.
I'd felt a lot of guilt because I feel like this was my fault.
Mm-hmm.
Had she been with any other man, she would be pregnant.
Yeah.
So I walked around with guilt for a really long time. And even here and there, I still do, like different times where I've imagined Jess's life had she been with somebody else. As in she probably has kids, probably has multiple, and she's able to go through pregnancy. But I feel like I ruined that for her.
Yeah. And that was, I remember the first time you finally told me that, which took some years for you to share. That was really hard for me to hear because it was like, I didn't just marry you to have kids. I married you because I loved you. But I also wasn't blaming him because how could I blame him? It wasn't his fault. And we were having to work through his guilt and me not blaming him, but also providing him with reassurance that I loved him no matter what and that I wasn't blaming him. And that's still hard because when you're the person that something's wrong with or has a challenge, I think you still carry that.
Yeah, and I knew it, but it still hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because I try to think of everything that, like, I've never done any drugs, haven't done anything to cause this, and still feeling guilty, even though there was nothing I could have done to prevent this.
Yeah. So having to really work through that and allow the Lord to heal him through that, I think took a while. But we're here now. And do you still experience those feelings?
Significantly less. Here and there, of course, mm-hmm. these things come up. But I don't feel it as much as I do today. So I've been healed mentally, spiritually in a huge way to where I am able to process this and talk about it.
Yes, which I think is a huge miracle and testament to the glory of God. And so in our journey, I think after healing and realizing that we may not conceive the way we had envisioned, which was naturally, we decided to pursue IVF because you had undergone genetic testing and like physical testing and there was nothing genetically wrong.
No blockages.
Yeah, nothing wrong that the doctors could find and no reason why you weren't producing sperm. And so we were told that you would have a 50-50% chance of the doctor finding sperms to use for ICSI and IVF. And so when we decided that you would do the testicular biopsy, like, how did you feel prior to that decision?
I felt hopeful because, like the doctor said initially, it was either I produce no sperm or I produce very little. So and even if I produce little, that's where IVF comes into play. So they can take one, combine it with an egg, and okay, here we go. So I definitely felt great about it. And like, hey, here's a chance.
I think I did too. I was super hopeful. And I was like, okay, there's no way, because there's just no reason you don't have sperm. So
exactly,
there's no way this is going to work. And we trust God. We fasted, we prayed. And we were like, maybe this was the route God wanted us to go through, because we'll be able to minister to hospital staff and fertility specialists, and they will see the glory of God through this. And then we experienced our attempt was failed before it even got started. So when you got the test results that day, what was that like for you?
It was already a rough day just after the biopsy. As a man, I'm sure you can imagine the type of pain I was in after having that ear being cut open. They were digging around in there. They were taking tissues out. So you can imagine what the recovery was like. Standing up, walking was extremely difficult. So
yeah, it was.
We get home, laying on the couch. I get a phone call and I got the results. The doctor said that they couldn't find anything. I called Jazz, but she was getting medication, and I just waited for her to come home. And that's when I told her. And when it came out of my mouth that it didn't work, that's when I broke. There have been very minimal things that have broken me in life, and this was one of them. And it felt like it was over, because this was the last thing we could possibly do here on earth to have a child, and it didn't work. And it felt like that was it.
Yeah, that was like the guttural reaction that I had when he said it. I just didn't believe the words that were coming out of his mouth. I'm like, what do you mean? They didn't find anything. And you were like, they didn't find one.
And all I could do was cry.
Yeah, and I never seen you cry like that. I don't even recall seeing you cry before that, but I remember you were like a baby, and that broke my heart, and I was trying to keep it together for you. But I think you wanted us both to just process that and grieve it, but it was like somebody had cut us open.
Yeah.
I feel, or we experienced this deep, deep loss of a child we never had. And I didn't know how we were going to recover from that.
I didn't know either. It was hard to process. I couldn't wrap my mind around it. Mm-hmm. And I just couldn't believe what I was told. It was like, oh my gosh, here we go again.
Yeah. And another gut punch in the fertility journey. And I remember Dr. B, this was another doctor, not the same doctor from 2013, but she called me and she's like, your husband's doctor called me and told me what happened, and I am just so sorry. And she tried to encourage me, and I was so grateful for that, because she didn't have to personally call us, but she did, and she wanted to encourage us. So I am forever grateful for that. And I just think in that moment, in those weeks after that, I was numb. I don't know about you, but I was really numb.
I think during that time, I stepped it down, because I'm like, okay, I have to get to work. And I think a way that I tried to grieve it was to keep busy. So I kept myself at work. I wasn't able to return to work initially like I thought I was. I still needed time to recover. And I just tried to keep myself busy and just get away from it for a while, because there was nothing we could do anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, it's going to take your hand, because this was our last option to do it biologically.
Yes. And it felt like the end, even though we know with God, all things are possible. And we kept holding on to that verse. It still felt like the end. And I think we had to process that and feel that and surrender that our journey may not look how we wanted it. And though we know God is able, he doesn't have to do it.
No.
And so surrendering that was hard. Our will for his will for our life and his unique journey for us.
And I finally got to that point this past summer. I finally had to say out loud, like, God, if it's never in your will for us to have biological children, then so be it. And coming to that point was difficult.
Mm-hmm. It was, because it means you're exchanging what you want for in pursuit of what God wants for your life. And that doesn't feel good all the time. A lot of the time it doesn't feel good, but it's also like, does God still have your yes, whether or not he gives you what you desire? Because we know that ultimately his desires are better for us than what we could want for ourselves. But again, that doesn't mean that that was an easy place to get to.
No, it wasn't. It took years. It took a really long time to be able to say it and mean it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But I'm grateful for this journey.
Very much so, because had we received what we wanted 12 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if we have this type of relationship with God like we do now.
I agree. The depth of what our relationship looks like with God now, I think, would look so different.
Yeah.
Had we not gone through this, and the couples we have met going through this journey, and the specialists we've met some really great ones.
We have.
Through this journey. And so I'm thankful for that, because it wasn't wasted.
No. Because, I mean, a lot of our prayers were wishless.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of asking God what his will is.
Mm-hmm.
We can say, I want this, I want, but what does God have in store for you?
Exactly. And learning to embrace that and the beauty of that, I think, is really important. So how did you begin rebuilding your faith after our failed attempt at IVF?
Getting back up wasn't easy, but it started with, God, you're still good.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what, whether we have a lot, whether we have a little, no matter what, you're still good. You woke me up today. That's mm-hmm. more than what you had to do. And having to find things to be grateful for, being intentional,
mm-hmm.
and just asking, like, God, we want children. We know that's in your will. How do you want us to go about this?
Mm-hmm. Because we still didn't believe that God would give us that desire and not fulfill it.
Right.
Because it's a good desire that comes from him. And so we became intentional about seeking the Lord's will for our unique fertility journey to our victory babies. And so looking back, is there something that you wish you would have done differently in your relationship with the Lord?
I would have reached out to godly counsel a lot sooner
mm-hmm.
instead of trying to pack it all in and go about my way. I've done that a lot, but this has forced me to deal with pain, to have to grieve loss like this, mm-hmm. and give it to God also.
I would agree that I would have sought godly counsel, and preferably somebody who has gone through the overcoming infertility journey and cultivated a village of people who truly understood. Because mm-hmm. although we had family, friends, you know, the unintentional questions and unsolicited advice and Christian cliches, it wears right. on you.
It's like, yes, we have prayed.
Mm-hmm.
We have fasted. We have been prayed over. We have read scripture. We have saved scripture.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen movies to help encourage us. And also I wish I would have had someone who went through it. I only know one other person
mm-hmm.
who I can relate to. And that helps a lot. But if you don't have that person, it makes it very difficult, because no one gets, because people can say they understand, but you have your kids. How can you know what I'm going through if you haven't gone through it yourself? Yes, you can empathize, but it makes you feel better knowing that there's someone who's going through it with you. Also, not that you want them to go through it,
mm-hmm.
but there's a mutual understanding that mm-hmm. doesn't need to be explained.
Yes, which is so comforting, I think, when you're going through this journey. And so do you still experience hurt when you think about our journey?
I do. I definitely do, especially when I look at my brothers who all have, or two of the three have kids. They didn't have any issues. My dad was able to produce, between him and my mom, four boys. So here and there it hurts, but I'm definitely in a much better place than I was then. It's not like you don't see a father out with his child in. Doesn't mean you don't get a little, not jealous, but a little envious. Of course, you want that for yourself. I'm able to agree with a lot better.
Mm-hmm. And I think for me too, it doesn't hurt like it did 12 years ago at all, which I'm so grateful for, because when you're in the thick of that, it doesn't feel like it ever stops hurting, or it could ever get better, or you could ever have joy when you talk about how good God is regarding your overcoming fertility journey. But for me, I think like it does hurt here and there too, but not nearly as deeply as it did.
And never feel like you have to not hurt from it. You mm-hmm. can still hurt from it, but still be able to move forward, because mm-hmm. this is a grief. I mean, this is a loss.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It is. And so looking back, what type of support would you have wanted?
Understanding. Understanding goes a long way. I didn't necessarily need to hear, oh, just pray about it. Mm-hmm. Or don't worry, God has it. Mm-hmm. It's like, yes, even though Jesus raised Lazarus, he still grieved. Mm-hmm. We knew that we were still going to get children, but it felt like each part we went through just had a stage of grief with it that we had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
But having that helps.
I would agree. Like, I really think that just like it takes a village to raise a child, when you are overcoming infertility, it takes a village to support you through that, an understanding mm-hmm. village, people to sit in the puddle with you, obviously not leave you there, but to say, hey, I'm going to sit in here in this puddle with you and you feel your feelings and I'm going to be right here with you, right? There's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn.
Right.
And I think that that is so important, that we can't be so uncomfortable with mourning and grief that we can't feel it with somebody.
Yeah, we have to be comfortable with someone next to you feeling uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think that's what I would have wanted, is a supportive community of people who have either gone through it and overcome, or people who are still going through it, just to encourage each other. And you get it, and you get those highs and you get those lows, and you know how to still pursue the Lord, because it's still building your spiritual grit every time you hit those mm-hmm. lows and you have to get back up and serve the Lord. So how would you encourage other men who are walking this path right now?
Reach out and don't be ashamed, because whatever diagnosis you get, it doesn't define you.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't define if you are a man or not. Just because you can't procreate doesn't mean you can't be a father.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I understand pride. I understand egos. But I do pray that you do get to that point. I'm just not going to say you need to get there, but I pray that in your own way through the Lord, that you're able to grieve and process this and let it go.
Amen. I think that's really good. So on today's journey, my husband shared about his experience with azoospermia and how it impacted him as a husband and a man, his faith, and how our journey drew him closer to the Lord. And I just want to thank my incredibly courageous hubby for joining me today and sharing his story for the first time, you guys.
Of course, you're welcome.
And so as always, I am so honored to cover you all in prayer. So let's pray, tribe. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for each and every couple who is listening in on today. I thank you for every couple who is seeking to overcome infertility, Father. We know that through you, we are more than overcomers. We know that through you, we have your healing virtue being poured out over us, Father God. We thank you that you hear every single cry. You collect our tears, Lord. And I thank you for those who are sowing in tears now will reap an immense joy, Father God. I thank you that they continue to pursue you and that you give them clarity in their unique journey for their victory babies, Lord God. We thank you that you are mindful of us. We thank you that you rejoice over us with singing. And we thank you that we are not forgotten by you, that you know us, you care about us, and you will give us good things, Father. So I thank you, Lord, that they are blessed, that they are encouraged, and they are victors. It's in your mighty and precious name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me back here next week at the Nurturary for Fertility podcast, where I will be discussing embryo adoption and donation and revealing a profound revelation that the Lord has shown me about this unique journey that a couple can take to their victory baby. Thank you so much for being with us today, and I pray that you overcome infertility and flourish. Hey, overcomers. Thank you so much for journeying with me this week. Before you go, would you please click the follow button and leave a review? Leaving a review ensures that other couples like you find this show so that they too can overcome infertility. Well, tribe, Lord willing, we will journey together next week. In the meantime, I want you to remember, you are not alone. And together, we can overcome infertility.